The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, Chapter 22, The Supramental Thought and Knowledge, near the bottom of page 830. As soon as we arise above mind to the supermind, this initial harmony will be replaced by a greater and a more integral unity. The thoughts of the supramental reason meet together and understand each other and fall into a natural arrangement even when they have started from quite opposite quarters. The movements of will that are in conflict in the mind come in the supermind to their right place and relation to each other. The supramental feelings also discover their own affinities and fall into a natural agreement and harmony. At a higher stage, this harmony intensifies towards unity. The knowledge, will, feeling, and all else become a single movement. This unity reaches its greatest completeness in the highest supermind. The harmony, the unity, are inevitable because the base in the supermind is knowledge, and characteristically, self-knowledge, the knowledge of the self in all its aspects. The supramental will is the dynamic expression of this self-knowledge. The supramental feeling, the expression of the luminous joy of the self and all else in supermind, a part of this one movement. At its highest range, it becomes something greater than what we call knowledge. There it is the essential and integral self-awareness of the divine in us, his being, consciousness, tapas, ananda, and all is the harmonious, unified, luminous movement of that one existence. This supramental knowledge is not primarily or essentially a thought knowledge. The intellect does not consider that it knows a thing until it has reduced its awareness of it to the terms of thought, not, that is to say, until it has put it into a system of representative mental concepts, and this kind of knowledge gets its most decisive completeness when it can be put into clear, precise, and defining speech. It is true that the mind gets its knowledge primarily by various kinds of impression, beginning from the vital and the sense impressions, and rising to the intuitive, but these are taken by the developed intelligence only as data, and seem to it uncertain and vague in themselves until they have been forced to yield up all their content to the thought, and have taken their place in some intellectual relation or in an ordered thought sequence. It is true again that there is a thought and a speech which are rather suggestive than definitive, and have in their own way a greater potency and richness of content. And this kind already verges on the intuitive. But still, there is a demand in the intellect to bring out in clear sequence and relation the exact intellectual content of these suggestions. And until that is done, it does not feel satisfied that its knowledge is complete. The thought laboring in the logical intellect is that which normally seems best to organize the mental action and gives to the mind a sense of sure definiteness, security, and completeness in its knowledge and its use of knowledge. Nothing of this is at all true of the supramental knowledge. The supermind knows most completely and securely not by thought, but by identity, by a pure awareness of the self-truth of things in the self and by the self. Atmani, atmanam, atmana. I get the supramental knowledge best by becoming one with the truth, one with the object of knowledge, the supramental satisfaction and integral light is most there when there is no further division between the knower, knowledge, and the known. Janata janam jnayam. I see the thing known not as an object outside myself, but as myself, or a part of my universal self contained in my most direct consciousness. This leads to the highest and completest knowledge, thought and speech being representations, and not this direct possession in the consciousness, are to the supermind a lesser form, and if not filled with the spiritual awareness, thought becomes in fact a diminution of knowledge. For it would be, supposing it to be a supramental thought, only a partial manifestation of a greater knowledge existing in the self, but not at the time present to the immediately active consciousness. In the highest ranges of the infinite, there need be no thought at all, because all would be experienced spiritually in continuity, in eternal possession, and with an absolute directness and completeness. Thought is only one means of partially manifesting and presenting what is hidden in this greater self-existent knowledge. This supreme kind of knowing will not indeed be possible to us in its full extent and degree until we can rise through many grades of the supermind to that infinite. But still, as the supramental power emerges and enlarges its action, something of this highest way of knowledge appears and grows, and even the members of the mental being, as they are intuitivized and supramentalized, develop more and more a corresponding action upon their own level. There is an increasing power of a luminous, vital, psychic, emotional, dynamic, and other identification with all the things and beings that are the objects of our consciousness. And these transcendings of the separative consciousness bring with them many forms and means of a direct knowledge. The supramental knowledge, or experience by identity, carries in it, as a result, or as a secondary part of itself, a supramental vision that needs the support of no image, can concretize what is to the mind abstract, and has the character of sight, though its object may be the invisible truth of that which has form, or the truth of the formless. This vision can come before there is any identity, as a sort of previous emanation of light from it, or may act detached from it as a separate power. The truth, or the thing known, is then not altogether, or not yet, one with myself, but an object of my knowledge. But still, it is an object subjectively seen in the self, or at least, even if it is still farther separated and objectivized to the knower, by the self, not through any intermediate process, but by a direct inner seizing or a penetrating and enveloping luminous contact of the spiritual consciousness with its object. It is this luminous seizing and contact that is the spiritual vision. Drishti, Pasyati, says the Upanishad, continually of the spiritual knowledge. He sees, and of the self conceiving the idea of creation, where we should expect he thought, it says instead, he saw. It is to the spirit what the eyes are to the physical mind, and one has the sense of having passed through a subtly analogous process. As the physical sight can present to us the actual body of things of which the thought had only possessed an indication or mental description, and they become to us at once real and evident, pratyakasya, so the spiritual sight surpasses the indications or representations of thought and can make the self and truth of all things present to us and directly evident. pratyakasya. The sense can only give us the superficial image of things, and it needs the aid of thought to fill and inform the image. But the spiritual sight is capable of presenting to us the thing in itself, and all truth about it. The seer does not need the aid of thought in its process as a means of knowledge, but only as a means of representation and expression. Thought is to him a lesser power and used for a secondary purpose. If a further extension of knowledge is required, he can come at it by new support of the mental search and its feeling out for truth. If a further extension of knowledge is required, he can come at it by new seeing without the slower thought processes that are the staff of support of the mental search and its feeling out for truth. Even as we scrutinize with the eye to find what escaped our first observation. This experience in knowledge by spiritual vision is the second in directness and greatness of the supramental powers. It is something much more near, profound, and comprehensive than mental vision, because it derives direct from the knowledge by identity. And it has this virtue that we can proceed at once from the vision to the identity, as from the identity to the vision. Thus, when the spiritual vision has seen God, Self, or Brahman, the soul can next enter into and become one with the Self, God, or Brahman. This can only be done integrally on or above the supramental level. But at the same time, the spiritual vision can take on mental forms of itself that can help towards its identification, each in its own way. A mental intuitive vision, or a spiritualized mental sight, a psychic vision, an emotional vision of the heart, a vision in the sense mind, are parts of the yogic experience. If these seeings are purely mental, then they may but need not be true, for the mind is capable of both truth and error, both of a true and of a false representation. But as the mind becomes intuitivized and supramentalized, these powers are purified and corrected by the more luminous action of the supermind and become themselves forms of supramental and a true seeing. The supramental vision, it may be noted, brings with it a supplementary and completing experience that might be called a spiritual hearing and touch of the truth, of its essence, and through that of its significance. That is to say, there is a seizing of its movement, vibration, rhythm, and a seizing of its close presence and contact and substance. All these powers prepare us to become one with that which has thus grown near to us through knowledge. The supramental thought is a form of the knowledge by identity and a development in the idea of the truth presented to the supramental vision. The identity and the vision give the truth in its essence, its body, and its parts in a single view. The thought translates this direct consciousness and immediate power of the truth into idea knowledge and will. It adds, or need add, otherwise nothing new, but reproduces, articulates, moves round the body of the knowledge. Where, however, the identity and the vision are still incomplete, the supramental thought has a larger office and reveals, interprets, or recalls, as it were, to the soul's memory what they are not yet ready to give. And where these greater states and powers are still veiled, the thought comes in front and prepares, and to a certain extent effects a partial rending or helps actively in the removal of the veil. Therefore, in the development out of the mental ignorance into the supramental knowledge, this illumined thought comes to us often, though not always first, to open the way to the vision, or else to give first supports to the growing consciousness of identity and its greater knowledge. This thought is also an effective means of communication and expression, and helps to an impression or fixation of the truth, whether on one's own lower mind and being, or on that of others. The supramental thought differs from the intellectual not only because it is the direct truth idea and not a representation of truth to the ignorance. It is the truth consciousness of the spirit, always presenting to itself its own right forms, the satyam and ritam of the Veda. But because of its strong reality, body of light and substance. The intellectual thought refines and sublimates to a rarefied abstractness. The supramental thought, as it rises in its height, increases to a greater spiritual concreteness. The thought of the intellect presents itself to us as an abstraction from something seized by the mind sense and is as if supported in a void and subtle air of mind by an intangible force of the intelligence. It has to resort to a use of the mind's power of image, if it wishes to make itself more concretely felt and seen by the soul sense and soul vision. The supramental thought, on the contrary, presents always the idea as a luminous substance of being, luminous stuff of consciousness taking significative thought form, and it therefore creates no such sense of a gulf between the idea and the real as we are liable to feel in the mind, but is itself a reality. It is real, idea, and the body of a reality. It has, as a result, associated with it, when it acts according to its own nature, a phenomenon of spiritual light other than the intellectual clarity, a great realizing force, and a luminous ecstasy. It is an intensely sensible vibration of being, consciousness, and ananda. Pausing at the bottom of page 835.